Before we start the show, I want to take a moment to say that our thoughts are with the victims and their families of the massacre in Orlando, Florida. We recorded the show prior to this event. I really wish that I was more elegant with my words. I have so much to say about this, and I just can't get the words out to truly express how sad this event is. I know it didn't impact me directly, but the attack on human life that was just so casually thrown away, 50 people lost, 50 more injured, the belief that this shooter had, his religious conviction, just goes to reinforce my beliefs on religion and what it doesn't do to help advance society.
DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
And this is yet another episode of Not Another Podcast. I am James.
I am Bryce, and we have not given up.
Nope.
You'll never take us alive.
You can't break our spirits. You can take our board and our audio equipment, but you'll never take our freedom.
Freedom.
We have a special guest today, Bryce.
Yes, we do.
Sean.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Sean is a friend, a longtime friend, and also the backbone of the band Herkimer.
Thank you.
I'd say you're the heart, but I don't know the full band yet, so.
Definitely the soul.
Definitely the soul.
And we were supposed to have Dan in, but Dan is not feeling well, so. But he said he'd be listening, but I think it's the drugs talking.
I think
so. He's got some form of gut rot.
See, I think it's technology.
It's morphed
back.
Yeah.
I think
he's got mini Terminators inside
it's
of him.
The nanobots for yeah. Sure.
You get what you deserve. And Sean brought with him something. We got to listen to it earlier, and we're going to share it here in a few minutes. Would you call this the single?
I would call it
the EP.
No, just the first recording.
The rough draft.
To say the least.
The band Herkimer song Candyland. It's pretty damn good.
Candyland Now.
Correct. Yeah, get it right.
Every time it's been
don't,
written to me or talked about.
Don't insult our guests. Okay?
But that's our MO.
Hey, I can take them.
No, every time it's been said to me or written to me, it's just said Candyland. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
not my fault.
That's okay? Lazy. That's what that is.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe next
hey,
time you message
honesty.
Me on Facebook, put the now in there too. Sean.
Will do. Will do.
You just make it autocorrect every time you type Candyland. It'll put.
Did
the
you
now.
Mean Candyland now?
Yes. Hey, you know what? I don't want to wait. Let's play it right now.
Thank you.
Okay, dude, that's
fucking awesome.
Pretty fucking serious metal right there.
Thank you.
I want to know, how did you guys get Danzig's younger brother to sing on that?
Hey, you know, not everyone can be Glenn Danzig. Sometimes you got to get Gary Danzig.
That's Steve.
He's got a great voice. I definitely appreciate the guttural tones that he can bring to our band.
He's pretty badass. I can't wait to hear more of that shit. How long have you guys been... I know you guys are working on an album. How long has it been now?
It's been a few years. We've had a lot of setbacks. You know, inner turmoil, outer turmoil, you know.
You guys describe yourselves as the working class band. And you guys are living that. I mean, you all got, you know, families and jobs and stuff, so it's not like you can just jump in the studio whenever you want.
Yeah, exactly. You can't spend all week working in the studio on songs.
No, you take the days that you get and you work with
what
you got.
Make it work. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, kudos to you guys for just sticking with it. A lot of bands would just like, we don't play anymore, so fuck it.
You know, and... I would like to call it a democracy, but I've seen where that gets us. I'd just say it's four people who just have an open mind about each other's problems and each other's strengths and weaknesses, and we just keep working with it.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Now, if Bryce said I could just adopt that, we'd have probably...
Fuck you.
See? okay, so, but the main reason we brought Sean in is we got to talking. Now, the three of us all... basically became friends over video games. Sean was friends with Bryce. I got introduced to you, and we all get along. We all have like similar mindsets on stuff. Well, we got to talking about one of Bryce's favorite subjects.
Indeed.
And you got pretty opinionated yourself, and Bryce and I agree that we need to have you in for this episode. Now, this is a subject, of course. No, as soon as I said that, like all one listener just went, "Oh God." But this is a subject that we come back to a lot, and I think it's one that we agree on has become more problematic in today's society.
Very much so.
It's the thing that people hold up as their beacon of morality.
Yeah.
And it's
the shield.
Yeah, that they can and hide behind. They don't use it correctly. I don't
know.
In the last, I would say the last 2 decades, it's really become almost a shadow of what it used to be.
Yeah, dare of course, I say since 9/11 even.
I would agree with that. I would even go back like 30, 40 years.
You
can see the decline of it. And of course, we're talking about religion here. And I'm going to say religion in general. I really want to say Christianity, but it's really religion in general.
It's all
except
religion.
For Buddhism. You know, Buddhism is the only one that's like, I'm me, you're you.
Yeah,
and that's
pretty even
that's
keeled.
Cool,
yeah,
you know. So if I was going to join a religion,
I would.
Be
I
Buddhism.
Would like to
I
say
couldn't
that I
agree
with
more.
That, but I'm not knowledgeable enough in
it's,
that.
I would agree with you that I'm not terribly knowledgeable, but I do know that Buddhism is very much karmic based, and that you do reap what you sow. So if you're an asshole, a lot of bad shit's going to happen to you. But it is very much just live and let live.
Odds are you're not going to hear the sentence, death in the name of Buddha.
Yeah.
If you do, that's not a Buddhist.
Yes.
Did you switch religions again? I mean,
well,
confused.
Actually, if you hear death in the name of Buddha, whoever's shouting it is probably killing himself in process of something that you're doing.
Yeah. There you go.
So, and the most famous scene of that is that
the
Buddhist
monk
who lit himself
on fire.
Fire,
yes.
And my God, every time I see that picture, I just think to myself, that guy's sitting there so peacefully while he's burning to death.
Yeah.
And all I can think of is that me. I'd be going, oh, God!
God, it fucking hurts! It's the principle! It's the principle! You can do this! You can do this!
Someone, give
remember
me
that
some
self-help
water!
Tape.
Yeah, it definitely takes a Zen-like state to perform
exactly,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I was like, umpteenth level of enlightenment.
He's a black belt Buddhist.
Is there something beyond black belt? No, he's just a blackened Buddhist.
Wow.
What, too soon?
No, not really. It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
But I would argue that of all the religion, Buddhism really is the one that just like, just live your life and I will live mine, and hopefully, you know, everyone just finds inner peace.
Yes.
You know?
It's one of the least horrible.
Yeah. So, but
from
what
very, very short list.
My very unextensive knowledge of other organized religions, it's very violent. And it's becoming increasingly so, in my opinion. Not so much like physical violence, but verbal and emotional violence.
Extremely
and it's really
clicky,
taking a toll.
Extremely...
No, we got to start with you and go back to kind of get a religious background.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was raised Lutheran, which as far as Christianity goes, it's actually a pretty...
Liberal.
It's pretty low profile on the list. But again, you know, it's a denomination that was absolutely man-made, much like the Bible, and that's where a lot of my problems come in. Most things I've ever used that are man-made, you can't really trust them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's the one thing we all agree
there's
on.
There's always a maker's mark,
yeah.
You know, and
are you calling the Bible Pabst?
King James? Yeah, King James Light, you know.
You know, so that's why it tastes like shit.
Stop eating the Bible, Bryce.
When you got that hankering for goat food, I mean...
I just need some fiber, okay?
Yes, very fibrous.
A lot of bullshit.
You know, and I always gave it a shot, you know. When was the
point in your life that it was kind of like... You
when did you start to question?
I,
yeah.
I feel
like...
Did you always have
that
I feel like
doubt?
Even when I was young, I feel like, why are we all in this room just repeating something together? Yeah. It feels... Mm-hmm. Before I knew the word cult, it felt very cult. Like, yeah. You know, I just didn't understand why we're here singing about someone none of us have met,
yeah.
Nor do we know if he exists.
It really is, and it's funny that you bring up that specific word. It is very much
organized religion cult-like. Is cultist. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's always the same thing. It's follow these rules or bad stuff is going to happen to you when you die.
See, yeah. and I think the worst part is the indoctrination of the children with the you're going to hell if you don't believe.
Yeah,
that
right.
is one of the worst things that you could do to a child is scare the shit out of them like that.
Definitely.
And well, it messes people up.
It's sickening, but that's the only way that they can get their hooks into these people, especially when they're young, because as you get older and you start learning to question things... That's when people start breaking off of these organized religions.
Yeah, the stigmas. Well,
you got to get those hooks in deep when they're young.
You can trace like the damage that religion can do. I mean, really fanatical religion. We've had serial killers who have heard the word of God tell them to murder.
Yes.
You've also had the opposite where people, Son of Sam, I heard the devil's voice or demons spoke to me and told me to do those things. And it's like, well... What was your home life like that you suddenly thought that you had demons? Look at people suffering mental illness who think they're possessed.
Right.
I'm not saying it's or, not real or because
people,
I don't know.
Or the people that do the exorcisms on these people that have mental illnesses that need legitimate help and not, I'm going to yell Bible verses at you and hit you until you're fixed, because that doesn't
do shit.
On
the flip side of that, though, there are those people that suffer that mental illness and believe so deeply that they are possessed that they need that exorcism
to
get balanced enough that they can get actual help. I mean, there's been case studies of that.
But I think most of the time, I don't think they get that help afterwards because they feel like God has healed them. So they feel like because God fixes all of it.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with that.
They say, well... He's removed the demon from me. Right. I'm fine now.
Well, and that's why the church
is the birth of a zealot at that point.
And it's really only the Catholic Church that does it. But they've stayed so far and away from that. And it's like there's so many steps before they approve an exorcism.
Right.
But there's so many priests that'll do them. Even if they're not necessarily approved by the Vatican or whatever high grand council.
And again, I'm not disagreeing that it's wrong because, I mean, you're just perpetuating whatever is bothering that specific person or whatever, you know, mental damage they have or emotional damage in some case or both.
Yeah.
And because they legitimately want to help, but they're in essence doing far more damage.
They're doing more damage.
And it's, you know, but they don't know because they're not medical doctors. They just see a problem and want to fix it.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't require a higher power to want to help somebody. And I don't understand. That's where I start. You know,
exactly.
Really,
and Bryce, you've made that argument too. It's like people come out as like, well, if we didn't have, you know, the Bible and God, what's to stop me from going out and raping and killing?
Yeah.
How about your own fucking humanity?
Know.
You know,
we create our morals. Our morals will change over time. Slavery used to be okay. We realized that's a fucking horrendous thing to do.
Yeah.
So we have changed that. Owning a person is not okay.
And I would have to say that most of the people that disapproved of abolishing slavery happened to be Christian.
Well, and there's
going
along with that too. I know in Britain for years it was punishable by death to be gay.
Yeah.
You know, and then they, you know, their morals changed. They were, okay, we're not going to put you to death, but we're going to fucking chemically castrate you.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, and again. Church.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was church mandated.
All,
you know,
and there's still Sharia law, which, you know, absolutely still feels that way.
Yeah.
And they still practice it, you know.
Middle East, one of the big contentions that people have with Muslims. And again, I'm going to say preface this with I don't know the full story and I don't know all the facts, but I do know that they will mutilate girls. They'll cut off their clitoris so they can
enjoy
sex.
Female genital mutilation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
It's
as
a
part
big thing.
Of the religion.
I was reading an article about how Egypt abolished it, made it illegal several years ago, but still it's like 9 in 10 women have been victims of FGM.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, this is where we get into that shady area of, you know, church and state. The church mandates that this be done because it's been part of their religion for so long, and they're not, you know, evolving with the times. I won't. Is that Bane farting over here?
No, he's snoring. He's sleeping.
I smelled something.
Oh, probably then.
A little of
I think
both.
Bane is the one who farted in Jim's mouth.
Forgot about that.
It was all hot. but it's, you know, even Catholicism has had, you know, rituals and stuff that have since gone out of practice because they're just barbaric, you know? So, I mean, we don't stone women for divorcing their husbands anymore.
Right.
We don't stone people for
wearing
mismatched
cloth. We don't send them up into the mountains
cloth.
When they have their periods either.
Yeah.
So.
It's, they've had to take a lessened role of power to potentially stay relevant.
Right, right.
Yeah, again, it comes back to the fact that as we evolve as a species, our morality changes.
Yeah.
And as that evolves, then, you know, religion has to evolve with it if it wants to stay in the forefront of people's minds. I honestly believe that religion is just another way to control people.
Definitely.
Well, the word religion means to suppress.
See, that's why we brought Sean on, because he's the smartest one of the three of us. That's not saying a lot.
But if you're so willing to change all your guidelines, all your principles, it's not much of a conviction
at
that yeah. point. Well, just look at the history of religion. You go back thousands of years to the, you know, the birth of mankind. Religion was a way to explain the unexplainable. What is that big ball in the sky that shines so brightly?
The sun god.
It's God.
Yeah.
Let's worship it because it gives us warmth. Mm-hmm. You know, and
it made sense of a confusing world.
Even to this day, I'd say it's the closest thing to a god anyone has ever known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is light.
Yeah.
Well, even, and then you look again, thousands of years, things evolve, we get smarter. Oh, it's the sun. It's not a god, because God wouldn't show himself. God is behind the sun. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Again, it's just
a loophole after loophole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you go, like, the Native Americans worshipped nature.
Right.
They didn't really
the Great Spirit.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't the sun, it was just
everything.
You know, everything was a part of this world, and it was, again, how they explain the unexplainable.
Yeah.
What happens when we die? Well, a crow comes and he takes you to the land of the dead to be with your ancestors,
right,
and your tribe, you know? I mean, it was there to comfort people when they were afraid.
I think it was more so to comfort families or relatives of those that were passing, so that they had the hope that they would see him again.
Well, that eventually came into it, but I think just it was a way for people to understand what was happening.
To answer the question, why am I here?
Go?
Yeah.
God is tired, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Urk here, he's not alive. He's not running around. What's happened? Well, he's dead. Well, Urk go? Well, you know, the great shining God in the sky lifted his spirit and took it. You know, it was a way to comfort themselves in times of mostly fear. And that evolved into, you know, sadness, and then it evolved into, you know, well, if we don't do these things, then God will punish us. You
the
know?
Seven steps to acceptance, or whatever they
call
it. Exactly.
You know, so religion, in its purest form, evolved out of explaining things that we as humanity didn't understand or were afraid of. You know, and so to keep bad things from happening, we'd sacrifice goats or, you know, kill Steve, you know, because God is angry, and if we kill Steve, then our crops will grow.
Right.
You know? So it was
hard to just accept the answer, Steve's right there.
Yeah.
His skeleton, anyways.
Like Steve, because his crops
Steve's
are
with the ants and all the guts and the blood that's there. Exactly. There he is. You know, right there.
It was a way to justify killing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Any form.
It was an easy way to unite people to go to war.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because if you go to war for your God,
yeah,
everybody will be fanatic for it.
Everyone I kill is going to go see God, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Everyone who dies is going to go see God.
They're not going to go see God because that's
they're
our
gonna
God.
They're going to go to
hell. Well, initially, it was kind of founded on that. You know, whatever happened to that point? Like, even the whole saying, God bless America. Well, what about everybody else? You know?
No, because God doesn't love everyone.
God only loves America.
Yeah.
Fucking right.
And Jesus. Canada. Jesus, the greatest American ever.
Yeah.
Fucking hates Mexico. Can't stand Mexico.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, that's where the Mormons came from.
But
Jesus' second coming was in America.
Yeah, right.
It was the easiest way, like you said, Bryce, it was the easiest way to rally people to your cause.
Because they wouldn't fear death so much because they were going to be with their God if they died in his name.
Well, even that, if you wanted to...
Heaven, Valhalla, wherever it is.
Whatever it was, it was a greater glory to be with your God, which is scary. And it goes against... all of this anti-abortion stuff, because you think about it, baby's going to go straight to heaven. So you're giving them the express elevator.
No, because they can't go straight to heaven.
They haven't
because
been baptized.
You know, if your baby doesn't come out,
but they,
he doesn't get baptized.
But they've
rolled
rolled in the age of knowledge too.
Yeah, but
so
that's only been like.
If they haven't hit a certain age limit, they have no sin because they don't know what sin is.
But see, it's
so
funny because
it's
they're
so convoluted at that point.
Exactly.
Countering their original argument was babies are always born with original sin until they're baptized before God.
Well, technically, it's never born, so it doesn't have original sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See that,
and it's not technically a baby; it's a fucking clump of cells. So
right.
Just
no.
But you can't abort it.
No, because life begins at conception. No, actually, all right,
let's,
before conception,
let's,
when you're buying
let's
last,
see that clump of cells.
Rounds.
Yeah.
Life begins at last call.
You know, you're really attractive.
Oh my God, I slept with that? How do you squeeze a whale into a tube top? This, oh my God, I'm never drinking Jaeger again.
At least till next weekend.
It's only got 1.5 legs. What the hell?
Is that a blowhole?
Why is there
it was last night.
Why is there so much flour all over the bed?
Wow. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah,
but it's makes my head hurt.
The thing that I still have a problem with, and I know we've talked about it to death, is people picking and choosing things out of the Bible that fit their
exactly
correct
and carrying that like a banner against things that they don't like. We were just talking about, you know, sex and abortion. People protesting Planned Parenthood, you know,
let's go one step further.
Less than 2% of what they do is abortion.
Yeah,
I should mention
it's women's health.
It
really
is.
A women's health clinic. It's not.
But then you have religions that protest birth control. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catholics are
sacred.
So. But let's go one step further.
I think we just found Herkimer's new song.
Let's go one step further and talk about those that are so fanatical that they'll shoot up a Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love pro-lifers that go in
burn.
And kill people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those
That's
are
how
my
pro-life
favorites.
You are.
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
You're pro-life until they're born.
I don't think you know how pro-life works.
Yeah.
That's metal.
It always gets used in the worst possible ways. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think it's made bad by the people who use it wrong.
The people who employ it, you know,
yeah,
the
exactly.
leaders of it, usually. And then when you get a decent pope, they'll just denounce him.
Oh, and do yourself a favor and never, ever question a priest or any sort of head of a church.
Oh, yeah. They have all kinds of verbal gymnastics.
Oh, dude. I want
jingly keys. Jingly keys.
Now, Bryce, you know the guy I'm going to talk about. I'm not gonna mention him by name, but when my wife and I were getting ready to get married, we had to go through, in order to get this certain guy to marry us, we had to go through his little...
Marriage counseling thing.
And for the most part, it was pretty cool. for myself and my wife, when we went through it, a lot of the stuff he talked about was things that we had already addressed between ourselves. So it was kind of interesting to get like a third party take on it and everything. But I think during the third week of it, he brought up religion and having Jesus as part of your marriage. And
as your personal savior.
And my first thought, and I never mentioned this to him for obvious reason. I don't think I ever mentioned it to my wife, but he said, you know, having Jesus a part of your marriage helps make a strong marriage. And I went, I'm not signing up for a threesome.
I know. I don't want a threesome for life. Fuck that.
I'm barely mad enough for her. I don't want to add another guy to it.
You want to bring the Virgin Mary in?
You're leaving me.
Talk about it.
You're leaving me, Jesus.
No, it's like that Family Guy episode where he wants to sleep with Lois. I've never been with a woman. He pulled that on me last week.
But he asked, you know, he asked about our religion and stuff, and I said that I'm a spiritual person, I'm not a religious person, and that threw him for a loop.
Me too, yeah,
And I had to explain to a man of God the difference between spirituality and religion, because for a lot of religious people, it's one and the same, but it's not.
It isn't.
Spirituality is a singular belief. It's what you believe. It's what you have faith in, and what keeps you.
It doesn't have to be.
And it doesn't have
Allah
to be God
or Jesus. It's a belief in something that's bigger than yourself.
When it boils down, your denomination should be private.
Yeah,
you know, everyone can have a personal spirit. Everyone can have their own set of beliefs. You don't have to go prove it to somebody.
No, and it's you don't need a book or a building or a group of people to keep you being a good person.
Yes. That's
that
on
responsibility
you.
Falls
it
on
should
you.
Lie on you. It, the problem is it doesn't anymore.
It falls on your parents to instill those good things in you.
Yes.
Until you get to a point and where you can discern right now.
Exactly.
Wrong.
And for you to evolve into, hey, my parents did it this way, but just because someone's gay doesn't mean that they're less of a person or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. If I went by how my parents believed, I would be so anti-gay. I'd be so anti, you know, abortion, all that stuff.
And I wouldn't be hatefully anti-gay, but I would be anti-gay.
I might be.
I would be not outspoken about it, but I'd be anti-gay, anti-abortion, anti a lot of things, you know.
And I will admit that when I was younger, I was very homophobic. And I know that the reason for it is because I didn't understand.
It was an ignorance thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. As I've grown and I've met gay people and talked to them and had them in my life.
They're people too?
Exactly. Yeah.
See, and that's,
some of them are good and some of them are dickheads. It's amazing how it works.
There's good and bad. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your belief is.
I've actually gotten in trouble in this when I was younger. I almost lost a job because I was having a conversation about gay people, and I said, and this got totally thrown out of proportion and misconstrued. At the time, my boss at the time was gay. I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But this conversation wasn't to her. It was to someone else, and it got to her. I got called into the office. But my stance was that I think gay people should have the same rights and privileges as everyone because they're people. And this got twisted because apparently there was some jealousy going on. I don't know why. And I got called into the office and sat down and said, blah, 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 and all this stuff. I was like, that's not what I said.
Right.
And I had to explain to my gay boss, who, again, I didn't know was gay. I was like, no, that's not what I said. What I said was, and I went through the whole thing, and it changed it.
Right.
You know? It was like, this conversation got brought up because this and this and this, and I just expressed how I feel about it, which is that people are people.
Yes.
And you should not, you know, dictate the rights of one group of people based on anything.
Yeah.
If
especially
a
religious document if we're separating church and state.
Yeah.
And I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what sex you are. What I care about is what kind of person you are.
Yes.
If you're a dick, you're a fucking
dick. Fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're a cool person, then cool.
Yes.
You know, kudos to you. It goes back to Buddhism. You live your life and try and be a good person to yourself and all the people around you. And I'm going to do the same over here.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not going to go out and murder people because I don't feel the need to do that.
Yeah, I know that's wrong. And if I do,
then it's a fucking book is not going to stop me from doing that.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
The magic sky carpenter is not going to stop you.
Exactly. If I feel the urge to rape, a book's not going to stop me.
No. No matter how many times, you read it.
Yeah.
So,
I guess location-wise, it might stop.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Whatever's in the book isn't going to stop.
The cock-blocking Bible.
If I'm having those urges, I've got serious problems.
Yeah. And the one of the biggest problems too is these books don't say don't rape.
No, they suppress a lot of feelings. They don't say
that's a horrible thing to do. Marital rape is given in these major religions,
especially because from it's their not origins, considered rape. You know,
well, yeah, because it's marriage. And,
yeah,
and
yeah, you're supposed to be a good wife. You're supposed to honor your husband. If he's horny, you need to go
so
for
much
it.
About it is super religious women,
like those that are like, that are against their own rights.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
It's anytime I hear any woman touting the Bible, oh, this is wrong, you know, gays shouldn't be married, the first thing out of my mouth is, you shouldn't be talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your husband tell you to do this?
Have you read the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
That book you're holding up right now saying, you know, men should not lay with other men.
Also says you don't have a voice.
Outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
If you open your mouth again, he can trade you, kill you, do whatever
you
want. You
should
wants
be wearing a burlap sack, no shoes. Mm-hmm. You should be at the house or gathering food for the
pregnant.
House.
If you're not pregnant, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
You're not wifing.
You know, you're supposed to be with child at all times because, you know, God says we must multiply and prosper and.
You're not doing
you know,
it.
Yeah.
By the way, are you on your period? Get the fuck up in the mountains, you unclean bitch.
Go. Yeah. Go.
Go home.
have you been divorced? Because I got a whole pile of rocks right
here.
Yeah,
I got a whole pile of rocks.
You know? And they don't like hearing that.
Are those mismatched fabrics?
Where do you work? Oh, you're the CEO of what? Oh, no, you've got
to quit
work. Right now.
You got to go home.
You can't be working.
Yeah.
You know? That book says so. Read it.
It does. Absolutely.
It's...
Not to mention all the texts they've taken out of the book to fit, to suit their needs. And, you know, I can't say I've read the books myself. I've watched a lot of things on it. So I can only take what I've heard from another person about what it was. But
well,
the
Bryce
Book of Lazarus,
are
you
still trying to get through it?
I started listening. I started listening to a guy that was reading it, and I had to give up.
I am actually
going to buy a Bible and read through it. I did get... there's a program that I got called the Skeptics Annotated Bible, mm-hmm. and it talks about, like, it goes through a passage, and there's contradictions of, like, everything, and there's links and evidence and all sorts of stuff. So I started going through that a little bit.
That's pretty cool.
There are people who spend their lives studying it.
Yeah. You know,
because I want to be a person of God, or because this... I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and for myself, every time I've read it, or read parts of it, because I've never read the whole thing.
See, and that's a big part of it, is most people won't read it all.
Because
it's such a hard read, and your pastor is the one that you defer to, and he's supposed to guide you to these moral parts of it.
And see, that's another problem I have with religion, is because you can take two pastors, read the same passage.
They're interpreted differently.
They deliver a different message.
Exactly. And it's like, growing up, the one thing my mom always did in, let's say, spurts, was make us go to church.
Right.
She would get a spiritual hair up her ass and have to drag us to, you know, the closest big religious
religion. Baptist, usually.
Yeah. my dad was Catholic, so for the first 8 years it was Catholic.
Strictly Catholic.
And it was, after that it was just big churches.
If you really want to make a scene, you got to go Baptist.
A lot of it was, and I will say this, and my mom will probably listen to this and get ticked. She won't listen to this.
No.
From my observing and from my memory, whenever we went to church, a lot of it was to show off.
Right, here we are.
And
we're at church.
I think that's the thing.
It's a communal thing for a lot
of people.
It
really is,
too.
But there is a lot of showing off. Mm-hmm. It's like, who's more.
Well, because you're out of high school now, so where's the popularity contest going to take place?
Well, for high school kids, because really the last time that I went to any sort of church was I was in high school or just out of high school, and it was something to do with friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was a place where we could meet up. And
I think that's how a lot of kids take it. Yeah. But the parents, that's their new high school.
Yeah,
that's where they gossip about each other. That's where that's where they try to outdo each other. Yeah. You know.
Oh, did you hear what so and so said?
Yeah.
Doing?
Yeah.
You know?
It's very gossipy and it's very.
It's clicky.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mom herself had been just treated like garbage in so many churches that she didn't literally go to for 10, 15 years. And I think to myself, why would you want to go there? They're reading the same exact word, and here they are treating you this much differently.
Well, and it's
same denomination.
It is
different attitude.
It's a social club more than anything else. And some people need that. Some people
they need
that
community.
Yeah,
yeah.
They don't get it from work or they don't get it from home, so they find it at church, and that's great if that's what you need.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the cultism behind it. There's got to be a way, like. If the three of us sat down, we could come up with a church-like community.
Oh, it would be something awesome to come to, and you'd give us money, and by the end, you'd probably drink the Kool-Aid.
Now we know where Sean's mind is at. Just give us the money.
It's called a tithe, all right?
Yeah.
It's not giving us money.
I just
You're
want 10%. You're giving it
that's to God, it.
Just
all right?
10%.
But we
for my car.
Like, and go, okay, for people.
Hey, I need a new jet, all right?
For people who want that sense of community but don't want all the religion, we could come up with something.
Yes.
Like, hey, every Friday.
Friday night magic. I mean, there's already things like that.
Yeah.
You know what
are,
I mean? That anyone could go to.
Come down
there used
here,
to be even more YMCAs and,
we'll have,
you know.
This week, Sean's going to talk about, he's going to come up with some sort of life lesson.
Right.
He's not going to, use a Bible or anything. He's like, look, here's what's happening in the news. Here's how I feel about it. And
here's what
discussion.
We can all take from it, or not take from it. I'll leave it up to you to decide.
And, okay, so it's done. Look, guys, we do need money to keep the lights on here. Every little bit counts,
Yeah.
Also, if you don't believe we're using the money for...
You can go online to this website since we have technology.
Here's
and
where
it'll,
we
it'll
keep
be
everything.
The Treasury website. You
so
know?
You know we're not fucking you over.
Hey, but that's being transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do that.
Yeah. If we're a religion, we don't have to do that.
John Oliver proved that.
But if we were to put together some sort of, I hate to say like church, but for this
Hey, if you want
for
tax
the,
exempt,
for
it's got to be a
church.
For the
sake of the name, church.
As a place where people can go, feel safe, connect with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the religion part of it to have that.
No.
But that's like... For a lot of people, it's one and the same.
It's the
that
tie-in,
community
yeah.
means church, and it's like they can't get over that, and so that's why the gathering of Herkimer will never happen.
Hey, I want at least a fan base. They don't have to pay us money, but
yes. You're not going to start a religion. You're going to start a movement, and that's completely different.
That's completely different.
So. Yeah, it always boggles my mind when I sit down and I think about how powerful religion truly is or truly can be. Religion can change the world for the better. The problem is it's run by people.
It's just like any government. I mean, even when you break down
it
communism and socialism, if you
government.
Had a benevolent dictator, they might work, but you never get a benevolent dictator.
You've got
dictator.
Socialism, you've got communism, you've got democracy, and you've got religion. Those are your four governments.
Seriously.
Dictatorship.
Yeah.
Okay, five governments.
But they all
religion
turn into
a dictatorship.
They all turn into dictatorships, and that's the problem. It's us. We create the problems in all of these. Yeah.
And that's what I was saying before. It's like no matter how good anything can be, it always comes down to the people running
it.
Yes.
And that's a part of the reason that the Founding Fathers tried to set up our country the way that they did, separating religion and state.
Well, here's another problem. Because
they knew.
They knew that it would get corrupted
Can
by it.
Either of you think of any religion that is that women are a part of the hierarchy.
No.
Maybe Wiccan. I don't know much about it.
That's not a religion. That's a club. That's a but ladies again, only
but
club.
But if you ask them, you know.
No, you're right. No, Wiccan can be considered a religion. It is essentially worshiping nature.
Yes.
Kind of gets back to what the Native Americans
mm-hmm.
did. But it's not. I don't. I'm going to piss off so many Wiccans here. I don't consider
we apologize
it a religion
in advance
because it's not
to our
structured.
Right.
You know?
And they're usually judged immediately as satanic. You
yeah,
know
exactly.
what I mean? That,
they
go,
that's not what it is.
They go
I mean,
hand
that's
hand.
How that's how they got rid of so many holidays, you know? All Hallows Eve.
Well,
you
that's
know, they turned it into they turn it But yeah, even yeah. it's the same sort of thing. They mark it as witchcraft, put their own holiday over it. Yeah.
But that's
and now let's
thing.
Forget about it.
That's
yeah. you know?
Basically religion gaining control, or really Catholicism
right.
gaining control
yes.
as it evolved and became
mm-hmm.
For the longest time, Catholicism was the one and only religion. I mean, they would overrun anything else. Paganism.
Right, yes.
The Greeks.
See,
like
things
everything.
That could have been religions
time,
were absolutely squashed,
exactly,
you know,
for the
immediately.
Longest time, Catholicism was really
it. Yeah,
it
was
but
the
then
cat's pajamas.
Like I want to say 1500s, maybe even earlier, it started branching off. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know what, this is kind of extreme. Kind of what we're doing
yeah.
now, someone questioned it. It's like, this is...
Yeah,
this,
you started getting Protestant and
yeah,
Lutheranism.
Exactly,
you know.
And those broke off.
Different
and,
sects.
Yeah.
Some people who just wanted to follow John the Baptist's teachings, Baptist, you know, that's how
yeah.
you ended up with all these denominations.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, these rules are too uptight. I like the message, but it's like, I want to eat meat on Friday.
But I really want to tweak this religion to kind of suit my needs,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, you know, and again, it evolved, you
yes.
know? Even Catholicism now.
Well, then religion
even,
itself proved evolution, didn't it?
Yeah. But no,
dare you?
Sean just blew so many minds. Like, all one mind of the
all
people
one
listening.
Mind.
Yeah.
It's a hive mind.
No, it's just one
just
listener.
Just one guy. Yeah.
One of us. One of us. Clown shoes.
Oh, that's me. Wow. I never get calls. What the hell?
Clown
Everyone I ever talk
shoes.
To on the phone is here. Let's find out who's calling me so rudely.
Probably your wife.
Hello? Yes, it is. I'm fine. I didn't ask for any sort of insurance quote. No, I'm very happy with my insurance right now.
He's so kind.
Okay, thank you.
Did the Catholics send you?
It was the Jews, wasn't
well,
it?
Okay. Since we are talking religion here, let me get back on the mic. Since we are talking religion here, and I just got a call from an insurance company, this reminded me of...
Jews.
This reminded me of a commercial we played on my radio station earlier this week that had us laughing so hard. You guys might have heard this commercial or seen it. But it's basically health insurance for Christians.
Okay.
How it works
so
is
it
like...
So it doesn't cover anything and...
No, it's...
No, sorry. It
only covers
it
what they want you to cover.
It diverts you to the nearest priest so that you can pray to get better.
No, from what I understand from this commercial, what happens is, okay, say you go to the doctor, you rack up a $1,000
mm-hmm.
Bill.
You
now,
ask God
course,
to forgive
you
it.
Of course, you have to pay it. But it goes into this program where other Christians will donate and help you pay off the bill.
And then after
so
that, you can say, the Lord is so
Lord
great,
is so good.
Isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Here's
he
the,
works in mysterious
here's the funniest
ways.
Part of this whole thing. Apparently, this is available all across America, except...
Mexico.
Montana.
Except Montana.
The most fucking Christian state in the union, and they aren't allowed to have this.
How bizarre.
It's,
yeah, I guess
it's,
Mexico's not a part of the United
yeah,
States,
not
is it?
Really.
Well, you know, was.
But kudos
it was.
To you on your geography.
It was at one point.
He was talking about New Mexico.
Yeah, I meant New Mexico. Yeah, that's it.
It's Mexico, only fresher.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Lord
Mexico
providing,
2.0.
That reminds me. That brings me to another point.
Okay.
The other day, when I was headed to band practice, I went to a 7-Eleven, And a lady. God. I know those are awful farts.
I'm lucky because I can't smell anything.
I'm right under him, and it just like wafted right up. Yeah, they're and burned nose hair.
Well, and the lady in the line, she's buying cigarettes. Woo! She's buying cigarettes. She doesn't have enough, and I see that she doesn't have enough. So I said, "I'll cover it." And she turns and she gives me a hug, and she says, "The Lord is so great, isn't He?"
Oh. Please tell me you took back the money.
I smiled and just stared at her. I didn't know what else to do because okay. I said, well, first off, I was like, A, I provided the money.
Yeah.
And B, if the Lord wants you to have cigarettes, He's a fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
You know,
see, had
I'm sorry.
He's trying to kill you.
That, yeah.
As soon as she said that, I went, and the Lord taketh away. Get your own fucking cigarettes.
He's a merciful, vengeful motherfucker. Peace.
My mom...
But I'm a good person. That doesn't deter me from helping somebody yeah.
exactly.
out.
Like,
you yeah. know?
I would...
Though I disagree, I'm still going to go ahead and give
I've
you the
been
money
in a
and not
situation.
Argue with you.
There was a guy with his little daughter, and they were trying to get some food, I think, and they didn't have quite enough, and I was like, I got it. I'll cover it. And he was very thankful.
And this
and
lady
I did
was
it because...
too.
I had the means to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to kill me, and it helped them out.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt good for
yeah.
doing it. You helped
yeah.
out your fellow.
I did it for a selfless reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That should just be
That
know,
should
what
be good
want.
Enough.
That's
you shouldn't
human
have
nature.
To do it to appease your magic sky carpenter
mm-hmm.
to get on
to
his
get
good
on
side.
On his good side. Yeah,
yeah
absolutely.
To I want to help people because... I want to help people.
Yeah, exactly. Not to gain favor
yeah.
from anybody, including the person you're helping.
Yeah.
See, I'm very much believing in karma. I don't believe that it's instant. I believe it takes a lot of time.
No. Even by definition, it's
yeah.
It's penance at the end of
and
your
I,
life.
And I believe
you know?
That the more good you do, the more good that you reap
yeah.
eventually. For myself, even if whatever good I get is like, oh, I found a quarter.
Here you go.
You know?
Oh, right. I see what you mean.
Awesome. To me, that's great.
This is,
like,
this is because I saved
I
that
nearly
family from that burning building.
Yay, 25 cents.
Not too
Yay.
Far from me because the story I'm about to tell. I almost killed my wife and I. We were driving down the road, and I saw something.
Mm-hmm.
And I screamed at my wife to pull over, stop, and I leapt out of the car and ran off. Freaked her out because she thought I just suddenly left her.
You just went mad right there on the road.
Went crazy. Yeah. So she like turned the car around to find out what I... Because I just took off. What had happened was I'd seen this old man in his electric wheelchair. Apparently he'd hit something on the sidewalk and knocked himself out of it.
Oh, no.
He couldn't get up. I'd seen two cars stop. He was at a corner at a stop sign. Two cars. It stopped
just staring
and drove,
at
drove off.
Yep.
So I leapt out, nearly killed myself and my wife because the guy behind us was following too close. Leapt out and helped this guy into a seat and got him on his way. Didn't ask for anything.
No.
Didn't, you know, the guy was totally thankful. I was like, dude, you know.
Yeah,
you needed help.
Exactly.
It's the human thing to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and it wasn't like I felt bad for him or laughed. I was like, dude, here's
someone
who needs
help. He was in
he
needed
help.
He's
in
yeah.
need.
Exactly.
And still, like, I don't know, like, if I've ever gotten... karmic repayment. I don't care. Every time I think of that,
it makes you feel good.
It makes me
yeah.
feel good. I helped someone in need.
Yeah.
I saw someone in need, and instead of just
see and,
going
and
off
that's
my
what
it
way,
wasn't to one
be.
Up the people who
you
didn't
don't,
help.
Like,
yeah.
It was like you know, I wasn't like gonna be late for anything or anything like that. And even if I was, I still would have done it because two people were at a stop sign, could clearly see them, and did nothing.
Yeah,
that happened to me last summer.
Yeah,
I was driving,
this is impressive.
I was driving down the road, coming home from taking the dogs to the vet or something. There was a van off in the ditch and then another car further down on its roof.
Mm-hmm.
So what had happened was there was a fire truck that came down the road. Everybody started pulling off. The car that ended up upside down wasn't paying attention, clipped the back of the van.
Yeah,
knocked it off
yeah.
the road and rolled, and there was a family with several small children in this van. So I pulled over, I heard crying, and I fucking booked it to the van. There was a couple of us that made it over there, started pulling the kids out, made sure that the mom was okay, got everybody out of the car, And it, I didn't care what else was going on. It was, these people need help. Go.
Yeah.
And that's, and it how makes it you feel be. Good.
You should
need. And I don't have to make, I don't have to do it for any other reason other than these people need help.
Right. You could have taken that time to evangelize, though.
Yeah. God, I missed the fucking opportunity.
He blessed the van. Poured holy water on
it. Yeah.
Said a few verses.
Baptized each child as they came out of the
car. Yeah, they brought them out. He anointed them with oil. They're all angels now.
Oh, yeah.
But you
yeah,
didn't
it
need,
didn't end well.
You didn't need a
the car may have started on fire, but I had to do it correctly.
The devil was there and he wanted to
I had to do it in God's name.
It was a race between me and the devil won.
It's because I didn't pray hard enough.
Yeah, that's one of the worst things, I think, are those that you... So if something bad happens, it's because you didn't believe hard enough.
Yeah.
Or you didn't believe true enough.
Well, prayer in itself is so counter...
Counterproductive?
Well, counterproductive, but it's so counter to what they believe, and they believe that God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if God has a plan, what's the point of praying?
Yeah. Yeah. And why are you such an opportunist bad happens to somebody?
Everything happens if you believe God works in mysterious ways and everything happens for a reason. Then why do you have to pray? Why do you have to do anything?
He's going
to
do what he does.
Yeah, you know? Whatever. Exactly. Praying,
you're basically saying that everything's
like,
predestined.
Like God's got this plan for you, and well, you know, it's a good plan. It's good. Well, you changed my mind, so I'm going to alter
it's
my
not,
plan.
It's not like voting for the new Lay's potato chip flavor.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, okay, more than half voted to save your life. I'm going to save it now.
Again, I really do understand that some people need that. They need, especially in desperate times, if your kid is sick and they can't, you know, figure out, you know, and he could die at any time. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's human to be selfish. You love your kid, so you're selfish, and you want the kid to stick around. So you're praying to God that some miracle they'll get over whatever this illness is. Kid's got cancer. He's dying. Please, God, give me something.
The part that really pisses me off with that is when they thank God and not the doctors for fixing whatever's
definitely
wrong. It's not your God that's fixing it. It's these fucking doctors who have spent years learning medicine.
And it's fairly proven that positive thinking will help you along, but you don't necessarily need religion for that.
Yeah.
There are help groups and, you know,
there are people
places
that,
you can go to, like-minded people who can help you through those situations
again,
who've had it happen
to
them.
You can find support if you need it. There, I generally believe, as much as I hate... Oh, now who's got clown shoes?
Not me, because my phone's not ringing.
Oh, I thought I heard something.
I was going to turn the air up because it's a little toasty in here. But
remote control, look at you.
Yeah.
No religion there. Technology. But I understand in sheer desperation, you're reaching, you're grasping at straws, anything to give you hope. And that's what it comes down to. A lot of these things are just a way to find that hope you need to carry on through a very difficult time.
Right.
But can't you just find that hope within yourself without looking upwards or downwards or wherever your God happens to be?
Because it
isn't God that's doing those things.
No.
It's usually you,
the people around you. Yeah.
And if it's your time, it's your time. Your
right.
body just couldn't handle whatever this illness is.
Right.
You know?
And I'm not saying that thinking with pure logic is all the way human, but you can't think purely on emotion either.
No,
I think it's
very human to want to believe in something greater than yourself.
Yeah.
And
it gives a lot of people comfort to know that there's somebody bigger than them helping them out.
Something looking over us all.
Yeah,
right.
It's easier to believe that than, and let's face it, it's easier to believe that than to believe
to,
humanity.
Than to doubt it.
Because humanity really is a disease.
Yeah, it'll let you down.
All the time.
Yeah.
And I've said...
I hate that, but it's true.
There are good people out there.
Yes.
I honestly think that humanity as a whole needs to be wiped out.
The
But well, I think And I believe with all my heart that there are individuals within humanity that deserve to be spared.
Right.
And allowed to evolve us into whatever our next phase is.
Right. But in order to find some sort of balance in
too many other people
in nature and on the world, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with the current roster.
No. The biggest disease.
Kind of like we need an ark.
Yeah, right.
The flood's going to happen any day now. Yeah. I just know it. There are people that give me hope for humanity's future. The biggest disease I think humanity has right now is
Donald Trump.
Is self-righteousness, and I think it's almost embodied in somebody like Donald Trump.
I think humanity's greed for whatever their thing is, be it power, money, women, mostly power, because essentially everything you look at, it's gaining some sort of power.
Yes.
Money is the easiest way to gain that power.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, people let down their fellow man.
Yeah, I agree.
We see it in our society right now more than anything. The wealth gap is so...
It's tremendous.
Yeah, it's so bad that there's almost no way to counter it, you know? I know there's a lot of talk. There's talk about fixing it,
mm-hmm.
but there's not really anything being done to
fix
it.
Well, because there's no desire to, because once you make it to the top and you're in a position of power to fix it,
you don't want to lose it.
They're like,
yeah.
here's money. Please don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The big companies have too much power in our government.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
The Federal Reserve has too much power in our government.
No, actually, I would say the Federal Reserve.
That's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
In truth, they probably have nothing.
Yeah.
it comes down to this, is the people who've gotten to the top and gained so much have gained so much power that they can continue to give themselves more while taking from lesser.
Yeah.
You see it. You're suffering that problem right now.
Absolutely.
You see it in the workplace more than any place else.
Absolutely. The CEO who needs... He can't deal with a 50-foot yacht. He needs the 60-foot yacht. Therefore, I'm going to have to lay off a few extra people.
I'll give you a prime example.
They can't have a mediocre profit. It has to always go up.
It has to, it has to be top.
They can't have a year where they just break even.
Yeah.
And not even break even.
Yeah, $10 million is not enough this year because I made 11
be
last
11.
Year.
It's got to be 12. Exactly. It has to go up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're still making a profit.
Yeah.
Well, and the problem is...
You're squeezing that rock awfully hard. You've proven no water's ever going to come out, and you're still squeezing it.
And cut costs in order to gain that profit actually hurts them more in the long
run. Yes.
But it's not about the long run. It's about what can I get in my pocket
now. And there's the constant threat of outsourcing, too. And that's where they keep everybody in line.
Media is a great way to prove this example. I work in radio and have for almost 20 years now. And I've seen it's the easiest way to see how bad this is. CEOs or big corporations will buy up lots of radio stations.
Right.
Now, I think currently the law is that you can't have more than 6 stations in any given city.
Right. That's why you have all these sister stations all the time.
Yeah. So they'll buy up, they'll get their 6 radio stations, and they will cut everybody who works in there, except the sales department. They will try and get as many people into the sales department as they can, because the salespeople are the ones that sell time for the commercials. So
right.
You need that money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll cut corners in every other way possible. And that's why when you listen to a music station, for example, you'll hear 5 songs and then 7 to 8 minutes of commercials.
Yeah.
Another 5 songs.
Not to mention it's always top 40, even in classic rock. There's thousands of songs. I have to listen to the same 40 songs.
That's because they hire these firms who come in and tell the radio stations what people want to hear. But they've never actually done any real research.
And they've probably never been in the market area either. They're
exactly.
probably
yeah.
East
the other
Coast
thing.
Or opposite Coast or whatever.
Or just
yes.
or
yes.
hands off at least.
Or
in the
some
least,
cases
you know?
the company who owns the clusters is based on the East Coast and they've never been out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now on top of all that, then they'll do everything they can to keep the station on air flawlessly with as few people as they can. Now, a truly profitable radio station or truly good station is one that has live people on the air.
Right.
Why do they do that? They do that because listeners will connect to the voice they're hearing on the air.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why DJs are still kind of popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's not, you're not listening to a personality. You're listening to a friend, someone who's interested in the same things you are.
Right.
Someone's going to give you a hookup occasionally, get you to that concert you want to go to, but also someone who will talk about the things that you want to talk about and allow you to voice your opinion.
Right.
And then play that awesome Britney Spears song that you have for the night.
And there's
time
there's many of them.
Yeah.
But what happens is again, because these companies are based back east and they know nothing about your market, they think they can just do a cookie cutter guy. So you'll have a DJ on from noon to 3
right.
every day. But that guy doesn't live in Portland. He knows nothing about Portland. He's never been to Portland.
Right.
He lives in San Antonio. And he talks on 16 different stations
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah, you're all listening to the same thing.
Yeah.
And he recorded those, everything you hear, he recorded those last week.
That's ridiculous.
And he gets paid. He makes maybe 100, 200,000 a year, but he's working for 16 different stations.
Yeah. Right.
So he's built that
and they
up.
Are saving and a whole lot of money really doing hard. That. Yeah.
Exactly. They don't have to pay. They don't have to pay for the body in there. They don't have to pay for benefits. They don't have to pay. So they're making all this money, but they're also losing money because no one wants to listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the people who are in power.
But they're still getting the advertising that they want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're getting their jet.
Right.
You know, and you know what? I'm going to give myself a raise because I just bought another 6 stations and they're going to make me a. But they're not. And that's why stations flip format constantly.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, the station's not doing well. The yeah. ratings suck. Change format.
They just call themselves the new whatever until they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the new Eagle.
It's like, okay, yeah. rock didn't work. Let's try pop.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't work? Where is it? Portland? Country. Give yeah. them country music. Oh, they don't like country? Classical.
Yeah.
That didn't work either. Try talk.
Yeah.
They will go through every
yeah.
format, but the thing is the formats are always the same.
Right.
So it is the definition of crazy. And radio, like I said, radio is the most basic way to show that. It's the one I have the most experience. But you see that with so many other companies and different things is... The CEO who's running it is making a lot of money.
Right.
But the people under him who
make nothing.
Do everything are mm-hmm. making nothing.
Yeah.
They can't afford their apartments
anymore. They're tithing. That's all they're doing. They're yeah. tithing and hoping that one day they're going to be as good as that person who's leading it.
Yeah, the American dream is dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how hard you work or how long you work. You're never going to make...
No.
You know?
I mean, it takes...
Hey, just look at Donald Trump. He was an underdog, all
right? Right.
Okay? He pulled himself up by his
fucking
bootstraps.
He was a fucking corn dog is what he was.
Yeah.
A deep-fried fucking corn dog.
It was a silver spoon, but it was a small silver spoon, I swear.
Bullshit.
It was really small.
He's an orange treble.
But you make a great point. Donald Trump is a great example of the 1%.
Yeah.
This guy has failed so many times, but he always fails upward.
Yeah.
You know,
I know.
And the thing is he fails
it's like falling upstairs
because he always finds loopholes. He is one of the most famous quotes. He was talking about one of his golf courses. They were going to have a tournament there, so he gets the deposit
right,
for it. And then they pull out. He doesn't give them the deposit back, and ends up fining them for something. So he makes money on top of making money, and they. This tournament gets cheated twice.
That's ridiculous.
You know?
It's all about the contracts.
And he keeps talking about, like, if you really pay attention to him during this campaign, he keeps talking about the fact that he's a businessman and always looking for ways to make money. What do you think he's going to do as a businessman when he becomes president?
Yeah. Make money for himself.
Exactly.
He doesn't give a fuck about anybody else.
No, he really doesn't.
It's all about him.
It's always been about him. I don't know how people don't get that.
What I love now is the people who have been supporting him are starting to back off. There was someone who rescinded their endorsement of him.
Good.
Just like 2 days ago.
Well, he had a really bad week with a lot of the stuff that came out over the last couple weeks that he's done.
Well,
he's done some horrific things.
Yeah.
It's going to keep going. And what do you think is going to happen when his tax information finally does come out.
He's not going to release it.
It's going to come out.
He's not going
to
release it.
He's not going to release it, but it's going to come out.
Yeah, he won't have to release it.
Someone at the IRS is going to snort in his ass.
I was going to say, I was going to be like, Edward, if you're listening, here's your new calling.
We can use your help, Edward.
Yeah. Put the Snowden signal up.
But I mean,
just a snowflake.
Yeah.
It also transcends right into religion.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
If you've seen shows like Preachers of L.A. and things like that, where, you know, they'll have these communities just donating all this money, and they're driving Rolls Royces, living in mansions.
Creflo Dollar, bitch.
You know, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean,
sense.
The worst of the worst, and they're kind of a joke, but they're not too far from what's actually happening, and that's evangelists.
Yeah.
You see these TV evangelists who build up their TV empire.
They're campaigning just like Trump.
They're
you know?
they're very upfront about it, but that's basically what a church is. Now, again, if you run a church, you do need money to keep stuff on. I mean,
you're
not making any money when people come in.
You're not supposed to be making any money.
Yeah, exactly. If you open a church and people just come in, they're under no obligation to give you any money.
No.
So how do you keep the lights on?
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep the power going? How do you keep the water running? All that stuff. You need that money. So you are very dependent on your parishioners for your income.
Right.
That said, how much income do you need?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the money that you get is supposed to go into programs to help.
Yeah, how
the
many
less
charities
fortunate.
Are you really putting your money into?
No,
exactly.
And most of them don't, and there's no oversight of it.
No, we cannot say that every church is guilty
no.
of
it. No.
The because one I was raised in, our pastor didn't have much money, and he was one of the nicest guys I ever met.
Yeah,
to the point where I'd watched one night he got taken advantage of by a guy who he invited in for dinner at the church, and then the dude beat him up and took everything in his car.
Exactly.
But he never made any money off of that. And I saw how much went into those offering plates. It was probably enough to run the building.
Yeah.
You know, and that was
but
it.
But that guy was probably we've got excess money. We've got all our bills paid. Let's put this aside because, you know what, the Smith family are going through some rough times.
Absolutely.
They can't get groceries. Let's help them out.
And they,
that's what
you
we're
know, and they
do.
Ran, you know, they volunteered for what they called the share program, you know, where someone came and gave their less money than the groceries cost, and they got a big old box of groceries, you know. And they ran that program and helped different charities.
When I was in high school, some friends of mine and I went on this youth retreat trip. And it cost, we had to pay so much money, but it was for gas for the cars that we took, and it was for the food.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, none of it went to the church. It was basically to take care of ourselves. And the coolest thing was they would, the coolest, and thinking back, could have been the scariest thing. They would pair up a couple people.
Stranger danger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My friend and I got paired up with this old guy
priests?
By himself.
Right.
Lived alone.
Yeah. Hindsight being 2020, they should have done
that
it differently.
Guy could have done so
where's
many
the paper
to us.
Boy?
Actually, it would have been where's the paper boy? This guy was a big old dude. Really nice. I mean, the guy was really nice. We sat around. He told us war stories. He was in Vietnam, so he was telling us war stories and stuff. We stayed up really late with this guy and
about all the Charlies.
He made us like this big old breakfast in the morning and everything. Really cool guy. But like we could have been the ones with like, you know, Phil the pedophile,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he could have like while we're asleep and he's just standing there with his hand in his underwear.
There's a lot of trust.
Guys like popsicles.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trust that's given that isn't necessarily deserved in a lot of those situations.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, and again, it's, I mean, a situation that could have totally been taken advantage of by the wrong person.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's a guy who can't suppress his rapey ways unless he's going to church, and suddenly there's some youthful kids going in.
Right.
Right.
Well, we ain't in the church right now.
God ain't watching.
You guys want to read some Bible verses in my basement of torture?
That's
you guys
creepy.
Seen 50 Shades of Grey?
I'm going to baptize you the way I was baptized. Now bend over.
Golden shower.
No, Mr. Dean.
That is wrong.
It is wrong, but it's. Yeah. I mean, that danger is out there. You
yeah.
know? And it is that's and whose responsibility is that?
Mm-hmm.
When it all comes down, it kind of falls on the church.
It is the church's responsibility.
Absolutely.
And it's also the responsibility to take care of their preachers and pastors and bishops who are molesting children.
Which isn't
and
happening.
They're not
they just,
doing
they
it.
Just
and
this
that's just
under
a parishioner. This wasn't someone,
this wasn't even someone in the church.
I mean, so
but
like,
there's
but it obviously goes all the way
you
to
take
the top.
The Catholic
and that's
church.
The problem.
But yeah, it is the church's responsibility because mm-hmm. it's like you entrusted the safety of two minors
mm-hmm.
for the night, and you know, with someone who could have been a lifelong parishioner to this church,
mm-hmm.
and he gets all grabby and rapey with these teenage boys.
Right.
That's on the church.
And they're more likely to cover it up than they are to
exactly.
fess up
they
to
They are going
to
cover
know,
it up.
They will do
they don't
want to
tarnish their church's name.
And those are with, I mean, those are with, you know, pastors and bishops and shit.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking a parishioner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How far would a church go to protect the sanctity of their name?
See, the thing with that, I think, is they would throw the parishioner under the bus versus if it was a member of the church who was
probably.
An ordained minister.
Well, I have,
right.
I have no
yes,
doubt
absolutely.
Yeah. I think there's been cases where we've seen that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Cause,
and in a lot of cases, they're willing to take that hit because they have so much faith in this guy, and he's just a guy.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's the, you know, there's with Catholicism, those guys hear. A pastor or a priest will hear confessions. I mean, horrifying confessions. But they're under.
They can't do anything.
Yeah, they like. Yeah. I mean, you can confess full-on mutilating murder.
Yeah.
And they can't. They can't go to the cops.
Right.
I think they can go to the cops if you're
premeditating.
Right.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of
where someone
like,
who's trained to hear these kinds of things, like a. Like a psychologist
a therapist.
Or a therapist,
yeah.
they are required by law to go to the police.
And
but you're not
they're
part
not
of the law
to.
When you're part of religion.
Yeah, and they aren't required to do it. They don't have to do it.
I think most of them would.
They should if
they
they're
totally
decent
should.
Human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the fucking Pope should be throwing all these bishops and priests to the fucking...
Throwing them to the wolves,
to the cops.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should be like... Take them.
Yeah. These people
Send
are.
Them to jail.
This
these
isn't the
not,
message
yeah,
we're trying
these
to
are
stop.
Not.
No.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And that's my big. One
but
of my.
But they've already proven that they are. And that's where they end up in this, you know, quandary. Because,
well
we already
shows,
said that they were men of God.
Yeah.
That they're literally, you know, talking to God.
It
and you have to talk to God through them. So, what does this
it shows
say
how
about
protective the
our
church
religion?
Is of its own, but it also shows how powerful it is with. When you look at how long and how hard they worked to protect these priests.
Right.
They knew of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've known for decades.
And they were like, okay.
They shuffle them
around.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. That's one of the worst parts.
It's just going to happen again someplace else. And, you know, in 10 years, they're going to have to do it. 5 years, they're going to have to do it again.
And
3 years, they're going to have to
do it again. And they're throwing money at these victims to keep them quiet.
I can't remember
and that's
the name
a part,
of it.
That's a big part of where the tithing goes, too,
yeah.
is to cover up
no
the stuff.
No kidding.
So yeah, you're basically
with,
paying to help
with
the
this Exactly.
The
with this knowledge being out there of how long this has been going on, you can't play ignorance. You can't pull the ignorance card on this. You know that when you tithe, your money is going to support this organization, which is trying to silence these victims.
Mm-hmm.
But that's changing now. I mean, the church is coming out and it's like, you know what, we can't keep doing this.
They're talking about it, but they're not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
I will say Pope Francis...
They're BPing that. Sorry.
Yeah. Pope Francis has definitely been...
The current pope is very vocal
about
it.
He's been
vocal
about...
against.
He's been very vocal against it, but he's not doing anything to stop it.
But just like any other government, it's one man working against a whole body.
Whole
but
group,
he's the Pope.
Doesn't matter.
If he comes out and says something.
He's
had that proven how many times
in
our own elections. That no matter what they promise, they aren't going to come
but
through.
But I get what you're saying, Bryce. That
if he says it, it
in
becomes
Catholicism,
because he is the word of God.
Yeah.
So if he says it,
he is second only
it
to God.
Has to be done.
Yeah.
So he can come out and say, this is abhorrent. It must stop now.
Yeah.
Anybody who is found guilty of it will be going to... They will be given up to the local law enforcement.
But this goes...
But they're not
going
to.
What I was saying, too, it's even though it's supposed to be that way, it's not going to be, because he's going against thousands of years of indoctrination.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he, this is the same Pope who's come out and said, no, it's okay for gays to marry.
Yep.
There might even be some aliens.
Again, with that, he said that gay people are people, but he hasn't changed the policy to allow gays to get married.
Right.
Yeah, but again, we're not there. We don't know what's going on with it. Yeah, yeah, he hasn't changed it. But again, I think it's just like government.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to change.
I want to imagine it's like Game of Thrones, Supreme Court.
I don't think it's too far removed.
No.
I really think, because there is, you know, there is a governing body in the Catholic Church, and even though the Pope, whatever the Pope says, that should be the new law.
Mm-hmm.
There is a, you know,
there's checks and balances, just like school, there is in politics.
Governing body of cardinals that go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We might lose some. You're losing people left and right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, you've got to go with the times, man. If you want your religion to last, you've got to go.
Quit
with the
being
times.
So either religious that, about it.
Yeah.
Drink the Kool-Aid and be done with it. You know. I mean, it really is. I do believe that religion has done a lot of good through its time, but I also believe that it's done a lot more harm than good. And you can measure that.
Yes, it's historical. You can measure the wars. You can measure
just about,
you know,
any religion. Again, with the exception of maybe Buddhism, you can look and go, this war was started over religion. This war was started over religion. Okay, this war was started over a woman, but it became about religion.
Right. And this one might have been oil, but, you know, it's still pretty religious.
Well, no, I would argue with you that all the wars started for oil turned religious.
Yes, exactly.
You know, not necessarily for one side, but definitely for the other.
Yes.
You know, there's a reason they scream jihad.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because it's like kamikaze.
Hey, but that's the
religion
of peace, god damn it.
Even World War II was started on religious hatred.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was genocide.
The Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He hated that religion, those people. I don't know what World War I was started for. I think
it was not necessarily the exact same, but I think it was kind of a similar power grab.
Vietnam wasn't religion. Korea wasn't religion. Anything in Iraq didn't start on one side for religion, but it was definitely religious for the other side.
Right.
Honestly, in the history of war, I really think there's only a handful of wars that were not based in religious beliefs.
Right.
And I think we touched on those. The war for independence here in America, that was not about religion.
Yeah, it was.
Sort of.
No.
You mean the Revolutionary War. Yes. Yes.
Actually,
it was, because we fled from religious persecution. Yeah.
No, that's what led to the pilgrims coming here.
But that's why we fought. You're right. It was about the king, you know, still taxing us.
Yeah. It was
taxation
about
without representation.
To our own,
yes,
without being under the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Of
yeah, that was when we kind of were like, well, let's try to get religion out of this a little bit.
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, we're going to separate church and state. And it
yes.
took until the 1960s before, or 1950s before, religion became a part of our government in a way again. And that was in answer to
those
communism.
Godless commies.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was another fear tactic. It was
a propaganda tool.
Exactly.
Yes.
And people today don't.
They don't realize
remember that.
Remember that. Yeah.
It's like everyone. Every time I see a meme that says, you know, we need God back in government. No,
God
we
was
need
never
God
in
out of
yes,
government.
God
yeah.
was never supposed to be in our government.
It's like, do you guys not remember the Constitution and it says separation of church?
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
But it was founded by Christians.
No, it wasn't. It was founded by
And that
people.
Isn't to say that some of them weren't, but even
yeah.
those people understood,
no,
like,
knew.
Whoa, yeah, no,
yeah.
you're right.
No,
we got to separate
it,
the
if
two.
If you look at that, at that time, everyone went to church.
Yes, yes.
Every Sunday, colonials went to church because they believed in God.
But they
religion
just knew.
Was very much about. But they also were smart enough to go, we've got to separate this, otherwise
yeah.
it's going to cause problems.
And
because we want our country to you can believe whatever you want to
exactly.
believe.
Exactly.
See, and I
and
think...
And then, like, 100 years later, we're gonna murder a bunch of kids because they were off playing in the woods, and we think they're witches. Yeah. But it's okay to believe whatever you want to believe.
See, and I think those religious people should want the separation because you don't want government in your religion.
No, you definitely don't want government.
You want ruling religion. Yeah, exactly.
If you're gonna, if you're going to mix the two, you've got to mix the two.
Yeah, yeah. And it's time to start taxing you.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yes.
You need exactly. to start declaring everything, and we're gonna tax the shit out of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we can't have two governments.
I think that's a good good place to cool down.
My throat
and
is sore. Yeah.
Wrap it up. Yeah.
This was a really good discussion. Sean, thank you so much for coming in and adding your voice to our ongoing
insanity.
Argument.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely, we're going to have you back, and we'll talk about something.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of happy things to talk about, you know.
There really is, and one of the things I love about doing the show, and Bryce, I've told you this, is we can have discussions like this where we can either be on the same side or even opposite sides of a discussion.
Yep.
And have it be a discussion and not like, you shut the fuck up! You know,
yeah.
beat the crap out of each other. We do what I wish more people would do, and that's have an open discussion where it's not, I'm going to insult you because you don't believe what I believe or you don't have the same.
Yeah.
I want to hear your side of the argument.
It's why
I want to understand.
It's why I've all but quit Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, you're on our side or you're against us.
Yeah.
I am... This election cycle has me, like, on the edge. I want to start sending out memes, because that's all I see is memes now.
Right.
I want to start
sending out memes. No original thought anymore.
Just go, do you remember what Facebook was about? And it wasn't about religion or politics. It was about catching up with your friends.
Yeah.
And just seeing what their life is.
Yeah.
No one posts anything about... I'm going to start, I think, just posting up random shit.
Yeah.
To get back to what Facebook was. When I get home, I'm going to say, went to Big Burger, had a burger, was great.
Yeah. It's like, I'm Christian and I hate you if you're not. Oh, happy birthday, by the way. I love guns. I love the Bible, you know. Right back into it.
Random stuff like...
Everything personal is an afterthought to your
memes. I
want to
be the,
you know?
the guy that all my friends love reading my posts because they're just so random. Nothing political, nothing religious, nothing like that. Just like, was that Fred Meyer? Saw a weird box.
That would be
awesome.
That's it. Yeah. That would be awesome.
No picture of the box, nothing. Just, it was weird. Didn't like it.
I actually had a creepy thought of taking an autopsy photo and putting like, looks good.
Yum. Supposed to, look what I'm having for dinner.
Exactly. Look what I'm having for dinner.
I
want to
have
jelly.
Like, really, just stupid random posts just to check in and make people remember that's what Facebook is about. Yeah, just you know, weird observations about your life.
Yes.
Not about your feelings about us. Taking the dog out for a walk, I stepped in shit.
It's usually someone else's feelings. That's the problem. Yeah. It's like, that's what memes are. They're not your opinion.
No, it's someone else's opinion.
It's a regurgitated
kind of
opinion, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much typing going on Facebook.
I've
unless
had
it's
to call out people on memes.
Unless it's like, look at me and how good I am, or look at me and feel sorry for me. You know, I don't see much about just wanting to know how someone else is doing. It's very self-absorbed.
At your highest point, oh, we just won a trip to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I'm cool with that. And even at your lowest point, oh, you know, my kid's suffering through cancer. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
That's a time to be with your family and you know, have really close people.
Yeah,
you know, be around
that,
you.
Also,
you know,
these are. When I see those, like, I feel pulled in because these are people I know. These are my
friends.
And my heart goes out to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this same person that actually does this because her kid is going through cancer, she also posts up things like, I made lasagna last night.
Right.
I fucking love her posts.
I bet.
She's one of the very few people that when you... She does do a lot of memes, which drives me nuts, but she does do stuff like, she'll take a picture. This is what I made in the kitchen today.
Right.
I love cooking.
See, you know, and that's
she'll
good,
take
you know.
Of her kids just sitting on the couch watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new game today. The kids love it.
It is nice to sometimes use Facebook as something to take your mind off of everything that's horrible.
Yeah, and that's what
and
I
not
wish
just
would
put
get
your
back
mind
to.
On it.
Like, yeah. And that's why I think the three of us should now just once a day just post something completely.
I'm all about it.
That we actually did or something that we're feeling like at work, so tired, really could go for a cheeseburger.
Right.
You know.
But don't take a picture of the cheeseburger.
No, no picture of cheeseburger.
Don't ask for sympathy, you know.
don't feel bad for me.
Don't feel bad for me. I just want a cheeseburger.
Couple hours later, had a cheeseburger. Wasn't as good as I thought. Apparently I wanted a chicken sandwich instead. You know.
Didn't hit the spot.
I love it.
Just left of the spot. You know?
I can do that.
Just random shit, you know, and see if we can start a pact,
guys.
Sign
I'm all about that.
Everything Hot Balls Johnson.
Hot Balls Johnson. That's funny.
I really wish that Facebook could get back to what Facebook was intended, and that is just connecting with people that you don't get to see every day.
Keep it in touch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I actually got a birthday wish from a friend that I had 20-plus years ago, and he put, "Happy birthday, old friend," and it really did make me feel good.
Wait,
I was like,
"See,
this is
old friends, or because I'm old."
But I mean,
fucker.
I know, right? Just totally, and then I meme him back with something nasty and hateful towards him.
I don't know what you're
not
doing
sure.
here. This
but I even
so
told
confused.
Him. I told him after 20 plus years, I still know your birthday.
Yeah,
that's the power of friendship,
yeah.
You know, and that's what it was supposed to be.
For me, that's what Facebook is. I love seeing what's going on with my friends' lives, especially you know friends that I haven't seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the odd post that I'll get from one of them here and there, just like. God, my kids are all grown up. I feel so old. Yeah, I do too, because your kids are all grown up, and I knew you back in high school.
Right.
Fucker. I really need a cheeseburger.
Or a chicken sandwich.
Or a chicken sandwich, I don't know. Apparently it was tacos. God damn it.
I kind of feel like these are euphemisms for alcohol.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of a lot.
I need a shot of cheeseburger.
A shot of cheeseburger.
I need a liquid salad, god damn it.
Again, Sean, thanks for coming on. We're definitely going to have
yes.
you back on.
Thanks for having
especially
me.
Especially once Herkimer gets off its ass and gets us more music.
Definitely.
Dan, if you're listening, you're probably drugged out of your mind, so you won't hear any of this anyway. Or your computer's
crashed.
Or it'll
be the most entertaining episode he's ever heard.
This is great, man. I need a cheeseburger, too. What do you want, Dan? You're looking at me like I've got a cheeseburger.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.